with you this morning. It's good to see faithful people. And the reason I say that is because you're in Sunday school. Don't always see a Sunday school like this. Praise God for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he means to us. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us enough to think on us, consider us, to love us enough to die on the cross for us and raise again to give us hope of everlasting life. Father, how we thank you that you've given us your word as a guide. Lord, you have been so kind to us. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and I pray that today our hearts would be touched with that love, with that relationship with you around the throne of God. Lord, we thank you today that we don't just serve God, we serve Almighty God, everlasting God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How privileged we are to belong to you, Lord. And I pray today that you would help me now as I share with what you've put on my heart. May it be used for your glory. Guide me in every word, that it would be to the power and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. About 2 months ago, a young man asked me a question in a church. Excuse me, and I'd like to address that question this morning because I believe it is a question that makes the difference of what makes Christians get started serving God and doing what God asks them to do. And it also answers the question, why do people quit on God and why do some just keep going and put their whole life into what they're doing? And that young man asked me a question, and I wrote it down so I don't get it wrong. How can you know the call of God and what it is like? How can you know the call of God and what is it like? Now, I was going to answer him immediately, and I thought, I can't answer that question in a minute. That's a serious question, because if people do not understand the call of God in their life, in some manner, they're not going to move out for God. And if they do move out for God and they're not aware of God's call, many times they just quit. They just quit and they back out. And we don't need quitters in the Christian life. We need people that are going to stick and stick to it and do a job for God. Now, I want to tell you simply what I believe you could call the call of God. And I wrote, it is simply what and when God asks you to do something for his purpose. Let me repeat that. It is simply what and when God asks you to do something for his purpose. Now, to understand the call of God, I'm sure most of you know Romans 8:28. And I'm reading this to you right now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It really never struck me that word called in Romans 8:28. I always read everything else like everything's supposed to be great. You know, in all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How can we give thanks for everything unless we know that all things do work together for good because he has called us to accomplish his purposes, not ours, but his. So everyone that carries the name of Christian and loves God is called. They're called to accomplish the purposes of God. Anything he desires. Every one of you is unique. There's no single person in this world that is identical to somebody else. You've met somebody that somebody else hasn't. Your life is different. And God has a purpose for each and individual life of the Christian. Now, we know that in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship. We're created to be his workmanship. He's doing a work in us. Why? To accomplish his purpose. And then we know in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we are co-laborers with God. In other words, he has created within us a workmanship to accomplish his purpose, but then he works with us. Can you imagine going to a company, being in a company with a couple thousand people, and someone tells the man, the vice president of the company, the president says, I want this job done, and I want it done right, and I've got a specific reason to get it done. Get someone in the company to help you, and it's very, very important to me. And that man comes to you and says, out of thousands of employees, I want you to help me. What a privilege. What an honor. What a recommendation. And you know something? That's what God does for every one of us that are in Christ Jesus. God the Father says, I have a purpose. God the Son says, all right, I'm going to do a work in this man, and I'm calling this man, this woman, this child to do a job for me. And I know what the purpose is. Now, there are some things about that that we need to realize. In Romans 12:1, we're called to be a living sacrifice. We're called to have a transformation of our mind. And the last part of that scripture says, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that good and acceptable perfect will of God is our privilege to relate the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to this world and to give the hope to this world that they do not have without Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord was speaking in John 20:21, he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So he is calling us. Why did the Lord come? To seek and to save that which was lost. So we can say that the call of God goes to every single person in this room if you're a Christian and you love the Lord. You've been called to share the hope of Jesus Christ with everyone that God gives you opportunity to do so. Now, that is our joy. That's our hope. Now, that's God's purpose, to get the gospel out to the world. Now, he has many ways to do that, and he has many places that needs to be done, and he has many means to accomplish it. One of those means is faith promise. You've got that this week. How shall they go except they be, how shall they preach except they be sent? And faith promise is all part of sending out people who can carry out that particular purpose to a different people than you can reach yourselves. And so God gives you that opportunity, and it may be he is calling you to participate in reaching that objective of getting people out for the purpose of getting out the gospel. And that's why faith promise is here. It is to give you an opportunity in that position to present the gospel to people you'll never see. So God may be calling you in some way to participate in this. I don't know how. But I want you to realize that his purposes in our lives are really accomplished when we yield in obedience to him. Now, he can tell us to do something, and he can ask us to do something, and we can refuse. We can refuse. It is a matter of choice. We have the opportunity to choose to be obedient or disobedient to the call of God when he calls us to do something. Now, the call of God to whatever else God asks rests solely on who God is. On who he is. It's an unwavering faith in him alone. And what I want to emphasize here, it is not what God does that we put faith in. We put faith in who God is. For you see, God's ways are so far above our ways. We will not understand his ways many times. Many times we'll stand back and say, I don't see why God did that. That doesn't make any sense. In our mission, we had a missionary that went out for a number of years raising support to get to the mission field to go to Finland. I believe it was Finland. And just about a month or so ago, or 6 weeks ago. They had just gotten to the field. They'd been there 3 months, and the man was in a head-on collision and killed. Now, that's not the way I would have worked out his ministry. And I could stand back and say, God, what are you doing? That doesn't make any sense. If I'm doing that, I'm questioning the wisdom of God. I'm saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. I have a better way. But you know, that's when we have to put our faith in God, who He is. Because when we know who He is, then we can put confidence in what He does. But if we start putting confidence in what we see, we're going to back out. We're going to quit. We're going to move out. We're going to say, God, that shouldn't have happened. I don't think we're questioning the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And we can't do that, because if we do, we're going to back out on God. We're going to start doing things our way and get our job done, but it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Now, God sometimes will ask us to go. He'll ask us to do something. When He asks us to do, we can refuse, but we must remember He has a purpose for what He asks. He has an objective. And the crazy thing about it, God often asks us to do embarrassing things. You ever been asked to do something embarrassing? Well, the embarrassing thing about God's call is often He'll say, go, but He won't tell you what's going to happen. He won't tell you what's going to go on. He just expects you to think, Lord, you told me to go, I'll go. But in the midst of that, He's not going to tell you what's going to happen either. He's not going to say, well, if you go, this is going to go on, this is going to happen, and that's going to be nice, and this go. He won't even tell you what's going to happen. He expects you to trust Him to accomplish His purpose, because you would never get His purpose done the way He has it planned. It wouldn't. I was out showing the life of Christ and His death and resurrection in a Muslim village. I went out, and I used to have a Jeep, put it up on a rack, and I'd show it out on a big queen-size sheet on some aluminum tubes out on the desert. And it was a big village. And I got there, and they said, I said, where can I show this? They said, anywhere you want. So I set it up next to an old building right in the middle of their village. We had about 700 people show up out on the sands out there, and they all sit down. I preached. When I got done, my translator came over, and he said, we've got to go. They're going to kill us. And there are about 30 of these men. Now, these Senegalese men are big. They work by hand in the fields all day. They are rugged men, and there's about 30 of them over here. And he said, we got to go. They're talking about how they're going to kill us. Now, every mouse has two holes, one to get in is out. Well, I have one cord that goes out to a speaker that if I jump in my car, I can take off. They can have the speaker. They can have the queen-size sheet. It's all theirs. They can have it free of charge. Blue light special. Red light special. They see mine going out of town. he said, we got to go. They're going to kill us. And I started to go for the Jeep as a smart missionary. And God said, go stop it. I said, all right, Lord, but you better give me the words. I walked in the middle of all these Muslim men ready to kill me. I said, you guys are acting like a bunch of pigs. I was thinking, Lord, why did I say that? I didn't want to say something stupid like that. And they all looked at me, and I saw them. They just put their heads just dropped down. Now, and I looked at them, and I said, listen, if you guys don't straighten up, I come to you as a man of God to preach the word of God to you, and you treat me like this, you keep it up, I'll never come back here again, as though they wanted me. And they said, a little later I found out we wouldn't mind it, but next time, please don't show your picture of crucifixion of Christ on our mosque. some people are kind of dumb, and I was one of them. but I never would have walked in there on my own and called those guys a bunch of pigs. You don't call Muslims pigs, folks. And, you have to stand back and say, God told me to do it. He gave me the words. I never would have done it that way. Never in a million years. But God told me to do that. I just asked him for the words. That's the words he gave me. And when I said them, I thought, I'm done. That's the end of it. It's finished. I have preached my last message. And I got to go out to that village many times, and I saw some people saved out there. You know, folks, we cannot look at what God does. We must put our faith in what he calls us to do, knowing who calls us. That's why we go. We don't know what his purposes are going to be. And God's call is not based on intellect or wisdom. You can tell that by calling them pigs. Folks, when you start calculating and figuring out what God's will is for you, what his call is for you in your life, if you're trying to figure it out intellectually or through wisdom, you'll never go. You will never go. Because you see, when you're working with God, he's doing things you would never dream of. He's got a plan for you. It's like Abraham. He said, go, I'll show you where to go. And he left his home. That's what God expects of us. If he says, go, we go. If he says, give, we give. We just simply need to obey. There was a city out in Africa I did not want to go to. I never wanted to go there. My wife didn't want to go there. I told God, send me anywhere in the world, but don't send me to Luga, please. I was pleading with God. It was a Muslim stronghold. There were 13 imams in the town. Most countries have two imams. That's like kind of like an archbishop in the Catholic Church or something, but much higher, because these guys have the power of life and death. They have thousands of followers, and there are 28 in our country. 13 lived in Luga out on the desert. And I said, God, don't send me there. It's all dirt streets. People urinated all over the walls. There's trash in the streets. It was a filthy place. And the last missionary that went by tried to hand out New Testaments, and guess what? He had to run for his life. They almost killed him for handing out New Testaments. And I said, God, don't send me there. Please, don't send me there. One day, we took a break at noon in the heat of the summer there. Summer, it's always summer there. And someone came to the house, and I came back in. My wife said, who is that? And I said, someone came by and said, there's a house available in Luga if we want it. She said, what did you tell him? I said, well, I'd ask the Lord. She said, well, you ever want to send your wife on a trip? And I thought, oh, all right. If you know, okay. You know, I was really feeling nasty, folks. I have to tell you, missionaries don't always have the best attitudes, and that was one of them. And I said, all right, we'll see what God wants. He said, depart to the place that I have shown you. Oh, what a coincidence. You know, open my Bible again. Depart, or I'll take my power from you. That's not in the Bible. 10 times, folks, 10 times, without exception, depart to the place that I have shown you. And I closed my Bible, and my wife looked at me and said, well, that's when you want to send your wife out of the house again and put her in the doghouse. But, folks, God sent us out there, and before I could get out of my car, you know what a Chevy Suburban is? I had it jacked up for the desert, about another 4 inches. And before I got out of the car, I parked in front of the house where we were going to live. And a man walked up and laid his arm on top of my Suburban. Does that give you any idea? And he looked down in there. He said, I understand that you say Jesus is the Son of God. I said, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And more than that, he said he was God himself. I figured if you're going to put 1 foot in, you might as well put both feet in, you know. And, you know, I witnessed that man for an hour and a half before I even got my feet on the ground. And he was holding the door shut. But, you know, we got to love that place and the people in there. They threw rocks. They almost put my son's eye out with a big rock. My little two-year-old daughter, a woman, came along and slapped her in the face and just raised huge welt on her face. They would throw sand through our windows. They'd call us nasty names. And folks, the Muslim priest led a couple mobs against me to kill me. But you know, when you see God is with you, and you see what God is doing with you, and you can trust him, You don't have to worry about the outcome. You don't have to worry because the outcome is his purpose when you are obedient to his call. Now, we are Americans, and we think success, bigger and better. Everything's got to be better. I don't know any of you men trade in your car for something, an old rattle trap, you know, and say, well, I think I'd rather just have a junk heap than this nice car. No, if your car gets in a wreck, you look for a worse car or a better car? A better car, right? We're always thinking better is best. Well, one of the biggest things that keeps us from serving God and hearing God's call in our life is when good is not good enough. When good is not good enough, we always want something better. And God gives us something and we end up complaining and groaning and moaning and griping because it isn't what we want. In everything, give thanks. And folks, when God calls you, we always look to the successful end. What's going to be a success? What's really going to make an impression for God? Listen, if God called you, you have to leave the results in God's hands. That is the key to responding to God's call. Leaving all of the results in God's hands. If you say, well, if I went and do this, it's going to be a failure. Then let it be a failure if God asks you to do it. You know, if you're a success doing God's will, praise God. If you're a failure doing God's will, praise God. You see, sometimes what we look at as failure, God says, is the greatest success. If you don't believe that, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. That was a failure in the world's eyes. Total failure. And yet, look what it's done for us. You see, when you do God's will and you hear his call and you are obedient to what God asks you to do, God will accomplish his purpose through you. It may not be what you planned. It may not look, if we're going to be a shipwreck, then let's be a shipwreck in the midst of God's love. Let's just go down with the Lord or go up with the Lord, but go with the Lord, whatever it may be. And just give yourself over to him. Now, the other part of that question, I've got to be very quick here. What is God's call like? How many of you have been sailors? Let me see your hand. Any of you been a sailor, seaman? How many of you would like to go to sea again that are a seaman right now? Get out on the ocean in a boat. Let me see your hand. Oh, I saw one shake his neck. You're not an old salt. You've all heard about an old salt, the call of the sea. Men that have been on the sea for years, they'll stand on the dock and they'll look out at a ship and they'll say, man, just let me out there. Give me an excuse to get on that boat. You know what? That's what God's call is like. You start getting close to God and you take time in prayer and you take time in the Word of God. And you seeking God's heart, guess what? God's going to change your heart. God will change your heart to where he puts something in there and he's working. You're his workmanship. He's working in your heart and he's changing it to his direction. And then all of a sudden he says, I'd like you to do this. And you say, here am I. Send me. I am ready to go. It's like the call of the sea to the old salt. It's just something is looking for an excuse to be called. And you know, when the call of God comes in your life, you can refuse. But someone who's walking with God and the call of God comes to his heart, he's saying, my bags are packed. I'm on my way. I've been ready to go. That's what God's call is like. It gets hold of you to where you say, I can't think of anything else. That's the only thing on my mind. It just keeps going over and over and over and over in my mind. And if I just had a chance, I'd be on my way. I'd do it. I'd give it. I'd surrender it. I'd do anything I could to accomplish this because that's where my heart is. That's when God's heart has become your heart and your will has become his will. And when he calls you, I trust you. I'm going to leave all the results in your hands. I'm going to leave the finished product in your hand. I'm not going to worry about that because I can trust you. You've got to trust God. You just have to trust God and believe that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it means diligently seeking him, going after him with all your heart. But so many people say, well, what if? In Proverbs chapter 22:13, it says that the man that's not walking with God is basically going to say, there's a lion in the street. You know, I'm not going out of my house. I'll get injured out there. I'll get hurt. Something could happen. Sure could. Sure could. You may lose your life. You may go to the mission field for 3 months and get killed. But can you leave that in God's hands? Can you leave your life in God's hands? If you've trusted Christ, you've already put your eternity in his hands. What about today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to love you, to have the opportunity to share with these men and boys this day. And I pray that what has been said here will be of help to somebody, to help them draw close to you, that your purposes would be accomplished to the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you would work in this day, through this time, through Brother Brower preaching, tonight's service, all that takes place, that the faith promise that is taken, the hearts that are touched, the results of our time together would truly bring glory and honor and praise to your name in all things, that our Savior and God the Father would be exalted in this world in the eyes of not only the saved, but the heathen and the lost around this world. May you do a work today in this church that would change the globe for Jesus Christ. I plead it in and through the name of the Savior's name and through his blood shed on Calvary. Amen. The Bible.